60 Minutes had a story last night in which they interviewed some very credible former Pentagon and military officials who had video and eyewitness accounts of objects that fly 13,000 miles per hour. They drop 80,000 feet in less than a second. They go underwater. The government calls them unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP, which just like the Cardi B song. And they've known about this for a couple of years, but they waited until now to talk about it because I guess couple of years ago, they would have been too embarrassed if the aliens said, take us to your leader. They'd be like, eh, not a great idea. But I can't believe so many people didn't see it. I feel like if this story had been on 60 Minutes in, like, 1988, it would be the only thing we talk about for the next 30 years. It's would have been the biggest news story of the year. Now it's like, yeah, I heard that. And I also heard Bill Gates was trying to get freaky with one of his employees, right? I know. So after watching the story, and you should if you haven't, you almost hope they're visitors from another planet, because if China has technology like this, we better learn to speak Mandarin, like, immediately. I have so many questions. I want to know where they come from, what kind of engines or fuel propels these things, what is this information they've been trying to find in hillbillies' butts for all of these years? That's what I want to know.
Do you think that aliens exist?
I think it'd actually be kind of stupid if we were the only thing living in this universe. So I do think aliens exist.
I do not think aliens exist. But if they did and came to Earth, I would go in my garage, get my sledgehammer, get a nail, put the nail in their head, and start using a sledgehammer and hitting them.
Okay.
On the nail part.
Ouch.
I'm not positive there are real aliens, but I know that if there was another life form, that we would be aliens to them. And so I'm pretty sure that aliens do exist, because we would be the aliens.
No. No.
Meek.
No. No.
Yes. 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 Yes.
I think aliens probably exist, but probably don't look like we all imagine them to.
What do you think aliens look like?
I think aliens might be invisible.
They might have horns, or their bodies would be invisible, and then you can only see their horns.
I think they might look like humans.
I think they have horns on the top of their head, and they are fat, and they have their eyes to their mouth and their mouth to the eyes. That's really all that I think.
I think they would look like a messed up hurricane.
I think they look like all sorts of different things, just like animals and on the planet Earth do. I think they look all different depending on where they live and all that stuff.
I honestly think that they look like octopuses. They're like all disgusting and they talk like, and they're all like crazy and all over the place, and they'll be like, and we'll be all scared thinking they're like real octopuses, but when they see their body, think it's all like, and when we finally meet them, we basically, I don't know what they look like, and I don't think I know what they look like, but that's a pretty good description. If that was what they would look like, they probably look like octopuses.
Where do aliens live?
Mars.
Probably on the Earth.
I think they live at their home or somebody else's home.
I think aliens live everywhere.
Maybe aliens might live on Mars or Venus or something like that.
What do aliens wear?
I think, honestly, they are intelligent, but I think they are more freer than humans to walk around without clothes. If they do wear clothes, they'd be purple silk robes, and the outline of those would be a yellow rope, and they wouldn't, that'd be the only thing they'd wear. It'd be kind of like a cloak, and he'd have a huge Omega sign on the back of it.
Okay, I would think that aliens would not wear clothing at all.
Aliens might wear gloves, maybe, and they might wear hats with alien faces on it that are talking, and they might wear ties with aliens on it that are talking also.
I think that aliens would probably wear whatever they wanted to.
I think aliens will be naked.
What do aliens do in their free time?
I think that they would play pool in their man caves.
I think they will just have fun and play games with their friends, you know. Play school, you know. I did that.
Maybe if they have guns, they might play with their guns and probably murder people for their free time.
I bet they're really busy and they don't have much free time.
I think they do whatever they want to do and whatever they have to do.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Town screaming it came. Next up is Thomas Savage with the track The Alien from the Annihilation movie soundtrack.
Thank you. you and make you mine. Now, I don't want to control you. I just want to have a good time. I'm in ecstasy when you're laying down next to me, listening to WGXC. Oh, no, no. It's ecstasy, yeah, when you are laying down next to me, listening to WGXC 90.7, Acre, Hudson, Catskill. This is so right for you and for me, this WGXC.
The exhibition Line, Mass, and Form at Art Austerlitz is one of the many exhibitions and gallery shows on the WGXC community calendar at wgxc.org. The show Line, Mass, and Form features artists Stuart Farmery, Alan Koppel, Zach Nevin, Eric Wolf, and Martine Kaczynski. There's also a special installation by artist Kate Schockel on the grounds that runs through the end of this show, July 25th. The show is open every Saturday and Sunday through July 25th from noon to 4 p.m. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar about Line, Mass, and Form at Art Austerlitz through June 25th and in the WGXC community calendar at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Art Omai in Ghent, New York. Open daily from dawn until dusk. Art Omai Sculpture and Architecture Park presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Now accepting advance registrations for visits on weekends and select holidays. Information at artomai.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Philip Grant of Nassau, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM Creative Community Radio.
A posthumous measure of justice for Berta Cáceres. I am Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Catastrophic climate change is heating the planet, shattering records from Siberia to California, fueling wildfires, droughts, and hurricanes. Yet land and water defenders fighting to save the planet face threats ranging from intimidation to imprisonment to assassination. In Honduras, Berta Cáceres was a leader of the indigenous Lenca people's campaign to stop construction of a hydroelectric dam on the Gualcarque River, which they consider sacred. She was gunned down in her home on March 2, 2016. Seven men who carried out the execution were convicted, but the person who ordered the killing escaped justice until this week. On Monday, the Honduran Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, found Roberto David Castillo guilty of ordering the murder of Berta Cáceres. Castillo was the head of DESA, the company that was trying to build the dam. He was a 2004 graduate of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point and a Honduran military intelligence officer. His conviction won't bring Berta Cáceres back, but it might deter similar attacks and ultimately save lives. Honduras has long been a virtual colony of the United States, providing bananas, coffee, and minerals for export, produced with cheap labor that's created one of the greatest gaps between rich and poor anywhere in the world. Honduras has also been a base of operations for the U.S. military and CIA from the 1954 overthrow of the democratically elected president of Guatemala to the Contra forces in the 1980s when the U.S. attempted to overthrow Nicaragua's Sandinista government. After he was elected in 2006, former Honduran President Manuel Zelaya, despite being a member of the elite, promoted populist progressive policies like an increase in the minimum wage. On June 28, 2009, Zelaya was ousted in a coup d'etat. Since then, corrupt U.S.-backed right-wing presidents have ruled Honduras, prioritizing privatization of public resources and multinational corporate profiteering. Mass unemployment and increasingly violent criminal gangs have added to the already dire conditions there, driving tens of thousands to seek the safety of asylum in the United States. A vigorous grassroots resistance movement has grown in Honduras, led by workers and indigenous communities. Berta Cáceres co-founded COPING, the Civic Council of Popular and Indigenous Organization of Honduras, in 1993. In 2006, she began organizing against the Aguazarca hydroelectric project, successfully driving out DESA's key partner, Sinohydro, the world's largest dam builder. Cáceres was honored for her leadership in 2015 with the prestigious Goldman Environmental Prize. Less than a year later, she was dead. In the wake of her murder, DESA's international funding partners backed out of the project, and the dam remains unbuilt.
Berta Cáceres was someone that, you know, called out the Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration constantly.
That's Pitzer College professor Suyapa Portillo speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
She used to say Honduras is a laboratory for what the U.S. wants to do in other countries, not just in Latin America.
Then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton defended the overthrow of President Zelaya without publicly calling it a coup. In 2012, Vice President Joe Biden met with the first coup president, Porfirio Lobo, reaffirming the, quote, long and close partnership, unquote, between the two countries. Biden was supported on that trip by his advisor, Tony Blinken, who is now Secretary of State. Honduras's current president, Juan Orlando Hernandez, has been implicated in the cocaine trafficking for which his brother, Tony Hernandez, is currently serving a life sentence in the United States in prison.
The role in of the U.S. in Honduras and the reason we're critical of it is because it has been a role of extractivism, of racial capitalism.
Professor Suyapa Portillo adds,
a role that has never been about respecting the sovereignty of Honduras or other Central American nations. And this is more of the same, right? We're seeing more of the same.
The environmental human rights group Global Witness, in its most recent annual report on attacks against land and water defenders, found at least 212 of these frontline activists were killed in 2019 around the world, and that as the climate crisis intensifies, so do attacks on defenders. Honduras was fifth on the list with the highest per capita rate for murder of environmental activists in the world. This is Berta Cáceres in her 2015 Goldman Prize acceptance speech.
In our worldviews, we are beings who come from the earth, from the water, and from corn. The Lenca people are ancestral guardians of the rivers, in turn protected by the spirits of young girls, who teach us that giving our lives in various ways for the protection of the rivers is giving our lives for the well-being of humanity and of this planet.
The cost of preserving life should not be death. As the climate emergency intensifies, we all have a responsibility to protect frontline defenders like Berta Cáceres. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Ah! And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend, well, on Saturday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with the temperature high near 77 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 60 degrees. And on Sunday, a slight chance of showers and a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a high near 78 degrees. And more showers and thunderstorms on Sunday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 63. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Next, we hear the 1967 recording Alien Bog from Hudson Valley legendary composer Pauline Oliveros. Oliveros recorded the work at Mills College in California and says, quote, "I was deeply impressed by the sounds from the frog pond outside the studio window at Mills. I love the accompaniment as I worked on my pieces. Though I never recorded the frogs, I was, of course, influenced by their music," unquote. And you can clearly hear on Alien Bog how Pauline Oliveros was influenced by the frogs. Here is Alien Bog. Thank you.
Thank you.